following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
One of my favorite hymns is Great is Thy Faithfulness, the hymn we just sang at the start of our service, because it reminds me of His faithfulness that He gives us and the faithfulness that He continues on and reveals to us new every morning. I would like for everybody to turn in their Bibles to Matthew 5. I would love to go through the Beatitudes. I know your pastor, he went through the Beatitudes with you a while back. I want to go through it again. Why not? As you're turning to your Bibles, I want to open up more about some stuff that does happen in our lives, and that is burnout. It's a real thing. There's many days where you're working, life gets you down, work gets hard, family and relationships do get difficult, and there are times whenever you're just exhausted. As a student at the seminary and college student as well, graduate, I remember many times whenever I was exhausted, burnt out, done, ready to quit, throw in the towel, and just ready to move on with my life and just like, I don't want to do this anymore. I just want to go to the church and I'm ready to do it. Though I was at that lowest point of my life, I knew that the benefits were worth it, that the rewards at the end of it were going to be great, of getting my education, knowing that it's going to be beneficial. And many times in our lives that we have that in our spiritual lives where we're spiritually at our lowest, we feel spiritually poor, and we are spiritually within need. I remember those days as well where I am at my lowest. I remember times whenever I was questioning God, whenever I was facing difficult circumstances and asking, where are you? Where is this? When am I going to be able to get through this, Lord? But I know this too. For those who are spiritually poor, there is a blessing in it. It might not feel like it, but there is a reward within being spiritually poor. And I know many times in our current generation, our current climate, we say that if you want to be successful, if you want to be happy, you need to be able to provide and be making money and be making, going into higher power. But that's going to be only limited, and that's not what God has intended for us. So as I want us to go in and zero in on the Beatitudes, because Jesus reveals many blessings, 8 of them to be exact, and one of them being more of an action. 7 of the rest are more characteristics that the Christian are going to go to. So listen as I read. Matthew 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up to the mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for you shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are those who are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Bow your head and close your eyes. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you so much that we get to be able to have this opportunity to learn about you, Lord. Thank you that you are sovereign over us and that you're sovereign. You speak through us today within your word. Lord, as we go through the discussion of being pure and poor in spirit, Lord, that there is a blessing, and that blessing is the kingdom of heaven, that even whenever we're spiritually low, that we have hope at the end of the tunnel, and that our reward is seeing you face to face. Lord, let this be your words and not my own. This in your son's holy name. Amen. All right, a bit of a brief introduction to this and who he's speaking to, Jesus, and the audience and the time and the place of where he's at. First, the audience and who he's speaking to is, one, his disciples and the people of Galilee that he just healed and performed miracles for. Jesus just begins his healing in Galilee. We know this from the previous chapter in verses in chapter 4. Now Jesus is delivering this, what is called the greatest message to these people. This message about blessing and rewards, a cause and effect. Jesus mentions these seven blessings. Eight blessings. Seven of them are characteristics of a Christian walk, of a Christian life. And the last one is an action as a result of those blessings given to us. And now I really want to zone in on the first one, the first blessing. And if you're thinking to yourself, oh, that's one blessing, we're going to be out here pretty fast. No. Sit tight. We're going to be here for the regular remaining of the service. So here's the first one. And the first blessing that is mentioned is, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, I want you to really get in the mindset of the people who are at this time. The audience of this people. First, they are people of Galilee. They were just healed. So these are people who were probably at their lowest. These are people who are in that time were being very much oppressed by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now these were people that wanted and needed a savior at that time. They're looking for something to fill them up and to give them hope. And it wasn't from the Pharisees. They only had one hope, and that was the coming Messiah. That no matter what, they were like, even at their lowest, they had hope for the Messiah to come. Now let's get into this. Who are the poor in spirit? We know it's not a physical thing, something that we're at our lowest physically. We know it's more of an inward looking into the spirit. It's someone who is needy. This word is not directed something of the temporal circumstances, but instead, it's a state of mind that this is referring to. These words of poor can be looked at as both needy, humble, lowly. Then Jesus uses this word, spirit, to express that this is a spiritual need within ourselves. That this is to those who are needed deepest, in their deepest circumstances, realize their need. Now let's get into some more deep theological stuff of how Jesus does this to people. Because Jesus does fill up the poor in spirit and meet them in their need. Look, go to John chapter 4. I'm going to be looking at the Samaritan woman. Brief look into it. Let's take a, let's look deep into it. So Jesus is spiritually meeting someone at this time and spiritually giving them the gospel. Jesus meets the Samaritan woman and Jesus greets her asking for water. Now, Jesus is just opening up the conversation, and she responds with just, "Hey, I'm a Samaritan woman." And she realizes this is a Jew. Jews and Samaritans, they do not get along at that time. The Jews looked down on the Samaritans, and the Samaritans were angry because of this. Now, Jesus is breaking a lot of barriers within this conversation. So when Jesus is immediately speaking to her, she's taking aback, saying, "I'm a Samaritan. I'm also a woman." Again, there's this cultural difference with what Jesus is doing. Jesus is breaking barriers. Jesus told the woman that what he has to offer her is more spiritual water. It's a special type of water. We know that this is the Holy Spirit, of course. And with this water, you will no longer thirst. You will be satisfied spiritually. And the woman asked Jesus, how do I get this water? How do I obtain this water? And Jesus' immediate response with is, go get your husband. She told him, "I have no husband." Jesus knew this, saying, "You have 5 husbands, actually. As a matter of fact, you're with another man right now." Now, Jesus introduces her into a direct place, saying that whenever we're no longer going to be in worship at a place, instead of worship in spirit. Let's look and listen to verses 21. This is where I really want to zone in on. Jesus said to her, "Woman," now if you see that and your first thought is wow, Jesus is being really rude. This is more of a cultural thing. It's more of Jesus saying, "Ma'am." It's very polite of how Jesus responded to her. So it's "Ma'am, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither be on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worshiping the Father. Your worship would what you do not know. We know that we worship for a salvation of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit," key word there, "and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know the Messiah is coming." This is a key verse right here. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Revealing to her that he is the Messiah. And look, these key verses saying, we'll be worshiping in spirit. Breaking a huge thing of no longer going into a single place, but we're able to worship God within we have God dwelling within us in the spirit. And we will worship him either at home, as we're going about, we are able to worship him wherever we go. But Jesus also is ministering to her in this moment, giving her hope. Because she knew, she is spiritually low, that she had hope in one thing and one thing only. Despite her circumstances. Despite of her knowing that she had 5 husbands and is currently in another relationship. She has hope that the Messiah is to come and that she will be saved by him. And Jesus gave her that hope and that need that she needs, saying, "I am he, and I will give you hope in that." So what does that mean to us? What does it mean to be that we are blessed to be spiritually low? This message gives us comfort as Christians. We know this because Jesus is speaking to his disciples and his followers at this time. Remember, the first verse in chapter 5 is him talking to the Galilees, but also to his disciples and his followers. So this is directed towards the followers. Many of us have needs, of course. Life here does get hard, too. People mistreat us. Work gets hard and exhausting. Like I said earlier, family relationships, they are hard. And we do get burnt out, and we go through life spiritually on empty. And sometimes we ask God, when does it get easier? We can see and compare ourselves to other people and see that their life is much, much easier. And we question ourselves, when am I getting that blessing? When am I going to have it easy, Lord? When do you get to bless me? And I want to encourage you in this. You are currently in that blessing right now in your spiritual lowness. In the poor state of mind, you are blessed. Because your reward is the kingdom of heaven. So that gets to the second part of this verse. For the kingdom of heaven is for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is yours. So those who are spiritually poor, those who are needy spiritually, if you're burnt out, tired of things going on in the world that it throws at us, tired of it, just know your blessing and your reward is the kingdom of heaven. Is not something here on earth, but it's something in the next afterlife that we have hope in at the end of the tunnel. That here's the beautiful part. If we're worried about the riches here, guess what? We are rich in heaven. There is our riches. The riches are going to be paradise. That's the beautiful part in the Christian walk. If we feel like we are poor and know that we need Jesus, our riches are there with him. There, that is that cause and effect of that blessing. If you're poor in spirit, if you know that you have this need and you know you have this desire that you need the Messiah, you need a Savior, your reward is heaven, is paradise, because that is where the reward is at and the riches are at, is in him. Now, I also want to go into this thing that's going on more in this current culture, too. Here, people, especially a lot of Christians, would like to push this agenda saying that our riches are going to be here if you have enough faith. I want to talk about this movement called the Word and Faith Movement, or the Prosperity Gospel. A lot of them teach this, that if you have enough faith, and if you give to the church enough, that you will be blessed here on earth. And their riches, prosperity, power, that God will bless you with these things. My friends, and my brothers and sisters in Christ, the gospel does not teach that. The gospel teaches that if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, your riches are in heaven and you are secured in paradise. Though, that is the agenda that they push. If you want your blessings now, all you need to do is have a little bit of faith. Write a check that has a lot of zeros. Then you get that blessing. Now, I want to talk about the problems and that kind of logic. That if you have enough faith in Jesus, that God will bless you here on earth. One is a form of manipulation. That if you push this agenda for people. Preachers like Kenneth Copeland and Benny Hinn preach these type of gospels that if you're for riches and prosperity here or now. Now, I want to talk about the logic and the issue with it. And here it is. I want you to tell that to someone with their child who is sick and dying. Imagine a mother hearing that. Imagine a mother in the back whenever she sees these people being healed, supposedly. And she's seeing this, and she's seeing her dying child. It's discouraging. She sees that and she says, I didn't have enough faith. And because of that, my child is suffering. It's discouraging. And puts a lot of doubt in the heart of her. And she questions her own beliefs and she questions her own faith. Imagine hearing that as a husband who needs to provide for their spouse, for his wife. If I hear that, I'm disencouraged that I'm not making ends meet. And if I give my money to them and I give everything I have, that God will bless me here and now. What happens if that doesn't happen? Did God not meet me there? That's what is communicated at the end of it. That's what they communicate. If you didn't have enough faith. Because of it, you're suffering now. This is what the Bible teaches, especially within this context of what we're reading. It's quite the opposite. Because what they teach is basically now, from our Christian perspective, if you're rich now, this is what's going to happen within our own, what we see of them. They're going to be poor in the afterlife. Because we know that if you decide to not put your faith in Jesus, and you say put your faith in your pastor and your church, that they will bless me in this, it's a false gospel. If you believe that, I'm sorry. This is the result, and it is hell. These people are preaching a gospel that leads people away from God and into damnation. So what does this all have to do? So this is what the poor in spirit get to get out of it. To those who are poor in spirit, their reward and riches are in heaven, because that's where Christ is at. So I tell you this, hold on to this truth. If you are currently in the circumstances where you're at your lowest, hold on to that blessing. Because at the end of the tunnel is the kingdom of heaven. If you're feeling like that you're burnt out and life is putting you down, hold on to that blessing. Because the kingdom of heaven is at the end of it. And if you feel like everything is going all that's going on around you is messed up and you're weary and tired, hold on. Because the kingdom of heaven is at the end. And to those who feel like they're spiritually dead, they feel like they're so far away from God, and you feel like your heart is hardened to things, I have this message for you as well. That Jesus has the power to revive that spirit. He has the power to soften that heart. Many of us, before we were Christians, we know that feeling too. That we are dead in our trespasses. Even it says in the Bible, in Ephesians, it says, and you were dead in your trespasses in sin, which you once walked. This is a message to Christians, reminding them that they were spiritually dead. And that people in today's culture that are not Christians are also spiritually dead. But Jesus, through the sending of the Holy Spirit, have the power to revive mankind. And we walk in newness of life, no longer being enemies of God, but being called sons and daughters, walking in sanctification now for his righteousness. Jesus did that for Christians, and he has that ability to do that for anyone who puts his faith or her faith in him. Jesus says to do these things if you want to be in the kingdom of heaven. It takes two simple actions. One, faith. Placing your faith in Jesus, that he is the Messiah, that he has come down. God came down, put on flesh, died the death that we deserved, and then rose 3 days later, defeating death on the cross. In our response of hearing that and putting our faith in that, we turn our minds and we repent of who we were. We die to our own ways and walk newness of life. No longer looking back to who we were. We look forward to the end of that tunnel. Looking towards the kingdom. If you hear that for the first time and you're saying, I want that. I desire that. You have that opportunity right now. That you are no longer having to walk in that dead trespass. You're no longer dead, but you're a spirit that is alive and that is called to be with God. If that is you, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And so that we can know that he is good and he is holy, and we are able to communicate that with him. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. That, Lord, even at our lowest, we're still your sons and daughters. And Lord, that even when we're dead, you're bringing us back to life. You've done it to us and remind us of it. But Lord, you do it every day with new people. That you call us and you bring us closer to you. Lord, if anyone desires to know you today, we would love to hear about it, Lord. We want to desire and be able to communicate. And we want to know about this person. Lord, if there's anyone in here that spiritually at their lowest, we also want to hear about this too. We want to be able to love on them and pray for them as well. As a church, we want to do that. Lord, we're going to sing one last hymn and worship and praise you one last time. If anyone desires to speak out and talk about this newness in life and feeling that and realizing that there's something different within themselves, let them come forward and we would love to hear about it. Lord, we love you. We do this in your son's name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.